Right now, it's time for our weekly Wisconsin News Roundup, checking in with reporters around the state about what they've been covering. First, the president of St. Norbert College in De Pere announced last week that he'll be resigning at the end of the academic year in June. That's left people asking for more details, and some are criticizing the school's board. Haley Biemiller is a local government reporter for the Green Bay Press-Gazette. Haley, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Friday, Haley, Brian Breeze made this announcement that he'd be leaving this job. Unexpectedly, people thought after 3 years, what do we know and not know about why he's leaving?
So right now, we don't know much. We know he is expected to finish out the academic year, so he will be leaving June 30th. His announcement did not provide any specific reasoning why he's leaving, and the board has not offered specific details either.
And this week, a group of students apparently demonstrated on campus asking for answers. Some were supporting the outgoing president. What kind of things did they bring up?
The initial student reaction to Breese's announcement was definitely a shock. He's very well respected among students. They consider him to be someone who reaches out and really participates in the community. And, you know, no one was expecting him to announce that. And now there are concerns that the board is not being transparent about why he's leaving. And, you know, at this point, they just want more answers and more transparency from administration.
And one of Breeze's predecessors as president of St. Norbert College got into the conversation this week with an open letter to the St. Norbert College board. What did he bring up?
Yeah, he sent a letter to the Board of Trustees that the campus newspaper, the St. Norbert Times, was able to get a copy of. And in that letter, he called the process secretive and abrupt and criticized the board for not being transparent and not giving Breeze the opportunity to defend himself. He acknowledged that he generally tries to stay out of college business at this point, but he said that he wanted to share his disappointment and mentioned as well that he was afraid that they have put the college at risk by doing this.
Had there been any controversial issues on the St. Norbert campus that people are maybe speculating might have anything to do with this?
So last year, there was an investigation into the college's response to sexual assault investigations on campus. Many students and alumni felt that administration was not properly following Title IX procedures. There was a suggestion in some cases that they were covering up sexual assault reports. And many of those allegations were tied to the Reverend Jay Faulkner, who is currently on sabbatical, but at that time he was the vice president for mission and student affairs. So at this point, the college has said that discussions about Breeze's departure did not involve Faulkner's status with the school, but again, because of a lot of the mistrust that exists on campus right now, some students have speculated that may be part of it.
And Haley, as we wrap up, what are you watching for next?
We are waiting to hear some more information from the board, and just today, in fact, the executive committee of the board issued a statement to the campus community saying that Breeze's decision is a private personnel matter and all parties have agreed to respect the privacy of that information. So, you know, we will keep an eye out for more statements from the college and, more information from students or more actions by students as they continue to push for answers.
Haley, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Haley Biemiller is a local government reporter at the Green Bay Press-Gazette. She joined us to talk about the president of St. Norbert College announcing he'll leave the job in June unexpectedly. Next, we head to La Crosse, where the police department has a new policy requiring political campaigns to cover half of their costs before holding speeches or rallies in the city. Hope Kerwin is a reporter for WPR News based in La Crosse. She joins us from our studio there. Hope, welcome back.
Happy to do it.
Why is the La Crosse Police Department saying they want money up front?
Yeah, so they are saying that they're going to require a 50% deposit of the expected security services up front because they had three events that they never received payment for the added security that they provided.
Yeah, what were those events?
Yeah, so the invoices that were sent were for two events from President Donald Trump's campaign. One was a rally held by Vice President Mike Pence, and one was a visit by President Trump for a private fundraiser in La Crosse. The other was for former House Speaker Paul Ryan's. He did a bus tour across the state and stopped in La Crosse in November of 2016.
And people might not think of local police playing a role, but these high-profile visits can generate expenses for local police departments?
Absolutely. And La Crosse police were very clear in that they're only asking these campaigns to provide to pay for wages for the officers that are overtime wages for the officers that are providing security for these events. Nothing more.
Any word on how this would be enforced, Hope?
Yeah, so I actually just got word this morning from an assistant chief at the La Crosse Police. He says that if campaigns don't provide this 50% deposit up front, that the police department will not provide extra officers for security and that campaigns will then have to rely on their own security for their events.
This is coming from La Crosse, Hope, and your piece on this, you wrote about other communities having unpaid bills as well. What kind of things did you see?
Yeah, I was able to confirm that the city of Green Bay and the city of Eau Claire police departments are in similar situations. They had events that were that they billed presidential campaigns for these overtime wages and never received payment.
And you mentioned the ones in La Crosse were Republican campaigns, but it turns out when you look elsewhere, this is a bipartisan issue sometimes.
Yeah, I did. I was able to confirm that former Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton's campaign also has some unpaid police services bills in the state.
Are there still efforts to get the old 2016 campaigns to pony up for local governments?
As far as La Crosse goes, they said that they are just hoping to look forward now. They're not focusing on these outstanding bills, but are just hoping to put this policy in place so they're not stuck in a similar situation where they're on the hook for these overtime wages.
Are the police in La Crosse expecting, I guess anybody in La Crosse expecting to be a busy stop for candidates this election season?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the police official that I talked to said, you know, we in La Crosse have been seeing presidential stops since the 2012 campaign, at least. You know, last year, in addition to the events that I mentioned, Clinton's campaign visited. Senator Bernie Sanders also visited the La Crosse area. So we're definitely a stop on the route and expected to be just as busy in 2020.
Hope, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Hope Kerwin, WPR reporter based in La Crosse. She talked with us about the city police department in La Crosse having a new policy that would require political campaigns to cover about half the cost of security before they hold events there. Now, a Green Bay company is working on a project that would convert manure into renewable energy, but the state's Public Service Commission is sending it through another round of reviews before giving it their stamp of approval. Danielle Kading is a WPR reporter based in Superior. Danny, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks, Rob.
Well, tell us about this project, a big project, it sounds like, to convert manure into natural gas in Brown County.
Yeah, this is a $66 million project. And as you said, it's going to convert manure into energy. And basically, they're going to capture gas that's produced by manure, otherwise known as methane, and use that to produce renewable natural gas that would be injected into a natural gas pipeline.
That sounds like a long process, and it hit a bit of a snag when they had to relocate. What happened there?
Yeah, because they've been working on this for 2 years. You know, the state approved $15 million for this a couple years ago. And the snag was that they had to change the location because the town of Holland, where they originally sited it, decided that they weren't going to award a permit for the project. So now they're in a different town. And because of that change in location, it changed the scope of the project, which means that they're going to be using more manure and they're going to be using more farms. And they're also going to be changing the way they treat the water, or they're going to be using different equipment. So those are a couple of the things that changed with this project.
And the state gave some money here, but they had guidelines on things like water quality. You mentioned what other kind of factors and conditions was the state initially looking at that they might have to revisit now with this new slightly changed project?
Yeah, well, when they originally put out this request for proposals for people to access this funding to do this kind of work, they wanted to see several things. They wanted to see it meet some water treatment goals, goals on nutrient management and renewable energy production, and also reduce pathogens getting into the waterways in that area, because, as you know, it's kind of sensitive to contamination because of that fractured bedrock in northeastern Wisconsin. So they're going to go back now and rescore this proposal to make sure it fits with the original goals.
And they, in this case, the decider we're waiting for is the Public Service Commission. Is that right?
Yeah. And so what's going to happen is that this work group of state agencies, including the DNR and the Wisconsin Department of Ag, they're going to go back and take a look at this and make sure that it fits with the criteria that was originally intended when they awarded funding for this project.
If everybody gives a thumbs up or if there are slight changes needed, when could this thing be up and running, are people saying?
Well, the company would like, BC Organics would like to see this up and running by 2021, and they're hoping to start construction next year.
What's the next step you're watching for? You mentioned a whole bunch of state agencies signing off on this one.
Yeah, so they're going to review it, and the goal is to have it reviewed by the end of December. And then it would be up to the commission as to whether or not it meets the standards that were set out.
We'll watch for that next step. Danny, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks, Rob.
Danielle Kading is a WPR reporter based in Superior. She talked with us about the state's Public Service Commission sending a Brown County project to convert manure into renewable energy back to a review stage.